During the invitation, a man bowed at the altar. His wife is a minister, and myself were there with him, and was mentioned to him about remaining after the service. After service, the three of us were together, and he was given an opportunity to speak. During the course of his speaking, there was a time that his wife had said some words to him that affected him deeply and hurt. Well, after this was over, his wife and I was speaking, and it seemed though some considerable time had lapsed, but he still had that in his mind, what had been spoken. Words can cause emotional pain. A child that is told by his parents that he won't amount to anything can have a very long-lasting, long-term effects on that child. It may be something that they would have to battle all the days of their life. Emotional pain can come from words that are spoken that can affect a person longer than a physical pain. Take an individual who is on a job, and he's a carpenter. Maybe Brother Ed could relate to this. And he would hit the wrong nail. And maybe is there some bluish effect comes up there, and some pretty intense pain. And maybe grabs it and holds it and tries to assert some pressure there to try to eliminate the pain. Well, it hurts and throbs. It feels like his heart's beating in his thumb. But over a period of time, maybe in a day or so, how long does it take, Brother Ed? Why, the pain's gone. But take that very same man and his wife call him stupid. That can cause a pain that you can't heal overnight, maybe. An emotional pain. And words can cause emotional pain. David knew the importance of words. And he stated in the 19th chapter of Psalms, oh, yes, let the words of my mouth, yes, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was given some statistics. This is a good desire that David had. The words of his mouth would be acceptable in God's sight. And these statistics I was given, according to that, one-fifth of an individual's life is spent in talking. One-fifth. I don't know how it would be about sleeping, eating, and those other things that normal human beings do, how they would split it all up, but this statistic said one-fifth of life talking. Now, there's probably exceptions to this. An introvert, maybe they couldn't judge it on that, but this statistic says one-fifth. And also, it is a statistic here that there's 18 to 25,000 words a day. Did you ever... Did you ever think that you talk that much? Now, to have every one of those words to be acceptable in God's sight, would you have to be kind of selective? To be particular in what you were saying. To say words of encouragement, upbuilding words. One song in our songbook says, "Guide my words that they be spoken in such kind and loving way, they may heal a heart that's broken, someone's darkness turn today." Power in words that can heal a broken heart. Do you have any? Yes. A heart that has just been shattered and broken. Well, this kind of make it a odd shaped heart. It's just affected here. It's just shattered. A broken heart can be healed and made whole by somebody just telling them they loved them. And it just make their heart a heal. Words have healing. And darkness turned to day. I was reading in the Faith and Victory, and Brother Wayne had this article in there about a woman that met a minister on the street, I believe it was. Well, I do have the little article here. I'll try to tell of it somewhat. And this woman told the minister, "God bless you," and went on to tell how his ministry had been a blessing. And he was interested in knowing her name, but she didn't think that was important. Just spoke some brief remarks. But those remarks had an impact. I'm going to read part of this. It says, "A dark thread of depression had been running through the minister's life for weeks. Later, he said, the unknown woman seemed to take the dark cloud with her. The mist broke, the sunlight came, I breathed the free air of the mountain of God." Just some brief comments passed on and spoken by a woman on the street was able to just take the thread of darkness out of this man's life. Ministers need some encouraging words at times, don't they? Maybe some have been kind of schooled in the fact that don't compliment your minister, they might get an ego inflation. But sometimes they might need a word of encouragement. And this lifted this minister's cloud of depression. made things look brighter, made things look different. Words are very, very powerful. The 15th chapter of Proverbs, first verse. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The brother was speaking yesterday of how the Lord had blessed him in a situation where his dog had got into confrontation with some other dog, and there was problems. And he was just able to say to the lady, "I'm sorry," willing to make amends for it, and how the woman just melted like butter, huh? A soft answer is powerful. Humility is powerful. Does it not take humility to give the soft answer? We live in a world where there is different types of worldly power, military power. Our nation is perhaps ranked number one in military power in the world. And perhaps Mr. Hussein in the Gulf War was made a little more aware when Uncle Sam flexed his muscles of the power that was in the United States military. There is a great, vast amount of power in our nation's military. There is political powers. The power that a candidate has to influence and sway the minds of people to assure them that I'm the candidate that you need to vote for. And they win elections by political power. There is police power. Real police power. If you don't believe it, get out on one of these interstates and let your foot get too heavy. And you get to go at 80 miles an hour, and you look in your rear view mirror, and this car's coming with this light revolving around. Well, if you're smart, you don't just ignore that, do you? And when he signals for you to pull off of the road, you don't ignore that either, do you? Why? Because there's power, amen, and authority, and you better heed to it. See, it'd be worse if you don't. I was involved in an accident one time. We had started to Los Angeles, California to attend church. And after we got on the freeway, the Golden State Freeway that leads from the San Fernando Valley into Los Angeles, the car that we were in began to accelerate. Have you ever been in a runaway car? It wasn't the most delightful occasion that I'd ever had. Well, anyway, we were in this traffic and this car accelerating, the sister trying to gain control of it, and we bumped somebody, and we were in a a lane of traffic, one of the lanes of traffic, and the sister was able to manage to get over. You know, on this side is where people pull off when they're in trouble, but some way or other, we wound on the opposite side, over here closer to the center medium. On this shoulder, maybe, or whatever it would be considered. So we was over here, and we finally was able to get stopped. And it was a considerable amount of time before a highway patrol woman showed up. And so we waited there a while longer, and then a highway patrolman showed up. And they didn't perhaps feel like that this was a very good place for us to be. Well, it was a very dangerous situation, in fact, if a car had got off course and come over in our position there. So this highway patrolman, he gets out of his car in all these lanes of traffic. He just gets out of his car and he stopped the traffic on the Golden State Freeway. By his appearance and his power in his uniform, I wouldn't have tried that. But he was able to get out there and do it. And he stopped the traffic, and this patrol woman got behind our car and pushed us all the way over, and we got off the side of the road over here. That was power that man asserted. That's the power. But it's not as great a power as it was that brother. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
When the lady was riled up for him to humble himself. Amen.
Yes.
And give a soft answer. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Do you know even your words can affect a dog? What if you would see a dog and you say, "Come here"? Would he come? Or if you could just softly say, "Come here," wouldn't there be a different reaction to that dog even? It makes a difference how you speak to a dog even. Well, what about a human being? Make a difference too, wouldn't it? And it goes on to speak about a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tree of life. There's a life-giving element in a wholesome tongue. You know, the saints of God needs a keen sense of knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Do they call that tact?
Yes.
Well, let's use an example of tact. The prodigal son's father. Some of you know the background of the story of the young man that decided, "I want what's coming to me, I'm leaving home." And the father cooperated and let him go with his money. And his lifestyle was very degrading and low. And spent his money carelessly, foolishly. Become in hit on hard times. Got a job feeding swine. Was in a deplorable condition. When he come to himself and realized that I'll go back to Father. He said, I will arise and go. When he got back, the father perhaps many times had looked out to see if he could see any signs of his son's coming. And one day upon his looking, he beheld, maybe way off in a distance, an image that struck a chord. My son's making it back. Have you ever heard that a son will walk like the father? And as he got closer, he could just see that this is the one that left me, my son. Well, when he got back, there was an embrace of welcome. That means something, doesn't it? I read about a young man that went away from home against his parents' wishes, hit on hard times, but decided one time that if his parents would give him permission to come back, that he would. And he was coming back on a freight train. And he wrote a card to his parents or his mother that if he was able or could come back, however it was worded, it's been some time since I read it, or to put a sheet on the clothesline. Well, perhaps before he got to where he could see the visibility of the farm, maybe his heart was kind of pumping a little faster, wondering, would that sheet be on the clothesline? Sure enough, as he got closer, there wasn't just one sheet. The sheets was out. Well, you know that must have touched his heart. But the father, on seeing the son, didn't say, oh my, how awful you look. And you smell like pigs. Amen.
Amen.
That's
right. That's the truth.
And it looks like you haven't changed your clothes since you've been gone. Amen. Yeah. And you've even got food caught up in your beard. And your shoes are so raggedy, it looks like the same shoes you left home with. He didn't come with that approach, did he? And he didn't say, tell the cook to get the last week's beans out and warm them up. Amen. It was a wholly different approach. This is my son. He was lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but now he sees. Would you get the good robe? The best robe. Not some hand-me-down, but get a good robe. And get the fatted calf. We're going to have a good time of rejoicing. That father had some tact, didn't he? It has an impact on a person. What you say to him. Do you know when Job's wife Job had went through so much. He lost his cattle, he lost his camels, his livestock. There were 10 graves somewhere from his children. He lost. And then he lost his health. There was boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Can you imagine poor Job walking around on boils? Wouldn't be very pleasant, would it? At night when he'd want to lay, he'd get so tired of laying on some boils, he'd turn over and lay on some of the other boils. That would be pretty difficult, wouldn't it? For all that he went through, his wife didn't say, "Honey, I believe in you. I admire you. I admire you for holding your integrity with God." She didn't say, "Just stay true a while longer. I know things is going to change for the better." Amen. Those weren't her words, were they? Though your friends are down on you, though we've lost our children, though we've lost our livelihood, I believe that God's going to see us through and restore and bring us out in a good place. She didn't talk like that, did she? That would have meant a lot to him if she would have. He got into some very deep waters when he felt like, "I just need to feel you today, Lord. I've been in this battle so long." Brother Ed was preaching up at the Guthrie camp meeting, and I didn't know this, but he said that trial was 14 years. Is that what you said? It's a long time, isn't it? But if she would have only stood behind him. One sister was talking out at a sister's meeting in California, and her husband worked on a job, and she's a black sister, and her husband worked on this job before he retired, and his boss was involved with the Ku Klux Klan and give him kind of a hard time. But it was the support that his home had that helped him out. But Job didn't have the support of his wife, did he? She said, "Well, curse God and die." Those words probably hurt Job. But thank God he stayed true. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up. He stood true. We're responsible for our words. People that blurt off and say, "I'll give you a piece of my mind," they better keep those pieces. They better keep those words. Have you ever said something and regretted it later? We're responsible for our words, even you little children. You're responsible for your words. When Elisha was in this place where these little children was, and they were very disrespectful, and they called him a bald head. They said, "Go up, bald head." These were just little children. But God held them responsible. And for those words that they spoke to that man of God, God allowed bears to come out and to just destroy them. Amen. Children, don't speak disrespectful of the pastor. Of the mothers of the church, the song leaders, or whoever, hold them in respect. Even if you don't understand everything, still show respect to them. It's serious to say words disrespectful to the ministers or the people of God, period. Many people talk about the saints, and it isn't always in a positive way, is it? I was with a couple one time, and we went to this other couple's house, and we was in there, and somebody mentioned about some juicy gossip. Juicy gossip. That's the kind that's told to you and it just sticks in your mind. Juicy gossip. Words can cause trouble in a congregation, in a home, on the work. Words can cause troubles. May the Lord bless us that we'll be able to speak encouraging words to one another. Have you ever been in a trial or test and somebody told you they was praying for you? Doesn't that have an effect? There were 12 spies that was dispatched to check out Canaan land. Two of them come back with a very positive outlook. They was able to behold the big grapes, the prosperity, milk and honey. But there was 10. Do you suppose that's the percentage that most people, us human beings, just 2% see things through the eyes of faith, and the other 10 don't have the faith to see? Well, their faith did not take it in, these 10. And they come back with an evil report in Numbers, the 14th chapter. They had an evil report. And they was telling about, they saw giants. They said, this is in the 13th chapter, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. How'd they know what? How'd they know what they looked like in their sight? But this was the gloomy doomy report that was brought back to the congregation of the people of God. And do you know that gloomy doomy report had an effect? The following chapter, the 14th chapter, and all the congregations lifted up their eye, all of them, lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept. Just by those gloomy, doomy words, it just put a cloud of doom over the whole congregation. Amen. And they just begin to boo-hoo and cry and weep. Amen. Men and women. It said all. And that includes men and women and children. Can you imagine these thousands and thousands of people just breaking down and crying because they felt like we're just not able. We just might as well forget about it. And a lot of them did, didn't they? But those two men that went on, they died in the Canaan land. Praise God. May the saints of God look on the brighter side. We live in a world of trouble, and it's going to get worse. But we have the Holy Spirit, Brother Larry, to sustain us and hold us up and carry us through. May God bless us to look on the bright side, to talk about the bright side. If you talk about people's faults and failures, you know it can affect you. And not good either. It's not good, the effect. Brother Isaiah, made an outstanding prophet, was a statesman. And one point in time in his life, after the king had died, which was his cousin Uzziah, he went to the temple to worship, perhaps feeling a need within. And as he was in the temple worshiping, God let him have a vision of Jesus. And he was high and lifted up. That's the way he is, folks. High and lifted up. And in this presence of atmosphere, of holiness, Isaiah didn't have the Lord pointing at him, his finger, and saying, "Your words haven't been right." Amen. The Lord didn't say that to him. It was just his holy presence. There's something about his holy presence that is going to affect us, folks. And in this atmosphere of holy presence, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I have unclean lips." What does that mean? My words. My words haven't been what they should have been. An honest confession. An open confession. Well, if he would just covered up for himself and said, "It's not my fault because I live around people that are unclean, have unclean lips. They make me do it." He wouldn't have got his help, would he? But the holy presence of the Lord struck conviction in his heart. And he felt the need, and he felt the guilt that my words have not been what they should have been. You know, a week in the Bahamas wouldn't have changed that. A trip to the psychiatrist wouldn't have changed that. Amen. But there was a cure, wasn't there? This angel went to the hot coals and got one of those coals off of the altar and started towards the man with the problem. You know, there could be a whole audience of people, but God can come towards you, the one with the problem. And when he started walking towards Isaiah, Isaiah could have started shrinking back. I know I'm at fault here, but I don't want the cure. A lot of people don't want the cure. The fire cure. The cleansing. Said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And folks, that fire can burn. He can send you through some fiery trials that'll make you, it'll have an effect. But he didn't draw back. He just let him keep on coming. And he put that right where the trouble was. Right on his mouth. And it took the problem away. It cleansed them out. And he never did have to have this type of a work of grace on his heart or life again. It made him a different man. He was changed. He was changed. So our words are very, very important. And may God help us that we'll be careful and selective. And it isn't always good just to say what you're thinking. And sometimes even counting to 10, it isn't good after you count to 10 to say it. Sometimes it's best to keep quiet. Nothing is opened by mistake more often than the mouth. May God bless you.